What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Hunting Gear Podcast. And for several of you, you're already out in the field. I actually just got done recording a podcast about a successful elk hunt this morning. I have talked with some guys who are already doing some antelope, some mule deer hunts. I talked to some guys from Wisconsin, and they're getting ready to do their opening weekend whitetail hunts in that state. And there's a handful of other states that are kind of already opened up, and people are getting excited for the to get out in the field once again. It's that time of year. Elk hunting rut is coming up. The mule deer kind of rut where I go anyway, the same time the whitetails do. So that's not a big deal right now. The antelope rut is going to be happening here shortly. And man, it's a great time of year to be out in the woods and the prairies and the mountain chasing whatever game it is that you are, that you plan on chasing. It's crazy because depending on where you're at, what species you hunt, what elevation, weather patterns, all of that stuff could make a huge difference in how you dress right now. I am in the process personally of washing all of my camo, all of my clothes, sorting it for what I need to bring versus what I don't need to bring. I've had times where I've been out west and we've hunted in 30 degree temps. And there's other times when I've been out west on the same mountain or the same prairie, and it's 90 degrees, right? I can remember 1 year it went from 90 degrees to like 35 degrees in a matter of like an overnight. It went from the 1 year I was mule deer hunting, I was sitting on a bluff when and spotting mule deer through a spotting scope, and they started popping out and I was really excited. And then the front came through and it brought like a 30 degree temperature dump in the matter of minutes. So I'm lucky I had my my spare layering system in my, into my pack. And that's eventually what we're going to talk about today. But right now is the time for all of us to get out and start looking at our gear, making sure our bow and everything is set up properly, our firearms are cleaned and shooting accurately. I have been shooting my bow fairly regularly right now, getting into the swing of things for the upcoming season. My issue is my shoulder, and I've talked about that before, but the more I do it, the more I'm able to shoot and the better I feel at these different ranges. And my max range for pretty much anything is 60 yards right now. So I have a max range of about 60 yards. That's going to get me a mule deer. That's going to get me a whitetail. Everything that I'm hunting this year, outside of that, I'm really looking forward to getting out there and getting the job done. Review your gear, check your stands, check your saddles, check your ropes, check your boots. Because one thing that would suck is if you're, especially if you're going on an out-of-state hunt, or if you're climbing into the tree stand for the first time and you have a hole in something, or you have a string that's frayed, or your release is broken, or something along those lines. That is one of those things that you definitely need to be paying attention of. And it sucks because there's been times where I've had to go back to the truck to get something, or I found out there was a cable kind of rusted on a tree stand. I didn't feel comfortable standing in it. So be observant with your gear, take care of it now so that you can hunt safely and efficiently this fall. So there's that. Before we get into today's episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast, I do want to send a huge shout out to some of our partners over who help support the Hunting Gear Podcast. And so the first one that I want to talk about is it's a newer partner to the show, and that is Muddy. And Muddy has kind of kicked off a new apparel line, a new hunting clothing line. And what they want me to bring attention to is the new DV8 series. And it's basically designed for the whitetail hunter in mind. It has a couple different camo options to choose from, but they have options that could be really warm weather, like their DV8 ambush lightweight short sleeve and long sleeve shirt. They have the clutch camo pant. They have, what else do they have here? They have the DV8 midweight quarter zip. So as the temperatures start to cool down, now you're starting to see the layering system here of the Muddy DV8 series. The jacket that I'm kind of looking towards is the DV8 Enduro jacket. That is a jacket that would be the shell. So you have your walking to the stand and maybe the ambush long sleeve and maybe a base layer underneath of the clutch pants. You get there, you're warm, so you kind of just chill a little bit. It starts to cool down at night. You throw on the DV8 Quest midweight quarter zip, and then as it starts to get, maybe the next day's a cold front or something along the lines, then you throw on the Enduro jacket or a heavier like the DV8 morph pants. And then they have a variety of other layers to choose from. The one that I'm kind of looking at right now is like a rain jacket. I need a newer rain jacket. And that's the DV8 Cyclone. So go check out the new Muddy DV8 series, and you can go to gomuddy.com to check that out. The next product, company that I want to bring attention to is Reveal Trail Cameras. You download the app, you put batteries in the camera, you scan the QR code, and it is literally sending pictures to your phone almost immediately. Setup is a breeze. They have a great battery life. Unless you have a scenario, what happened with me this year, where you have a horse basically stand in front of your trail camera for literally 16 straight days, and it sucks the battery out of it the whole time. That sucks. There's nothing they can do about it. Just don't have horses on your property, I guess is that one. But the new Ultra is an absolutely badass camera with a ton of functionality, the ability to request imagery, have live footage sent to your phone, video and images sent to your phone, and the ability, this new GPS tracking in it. So if someone steals your phone, you turn the GPS tracking on, or your camera, turn the GPS tracking on, and now you can kind of see where it's at. So that's something really cool. The fact that the battery's kind of exhaust, they have an internal battery on the new Ultra that kind of keeps going to keep things alive throughout the season if you can't get to it. So a lot of cool functionality on the new Ultra, a lot of cool new functionality on the app side of things as well. So go to tacticam.com/cameras and check out the new Ultra and the older 3.0 versions of the Reveal trail camera. All right. We've done the commercials. Now today's topic is what is in my mule deer pack. All right. Let me take a sip of water here real quick. What's in my mule deer pack? So here's how I mule deer hunt. Back in the day when I first started mule deer hunting, I would camp in, pack in. Everything is in my pack, my tent, my sleeping bag, all that stuff. I don't do that anymore. I usually sleep in my truck, or last year I got a cabin. This year we're getting a mini, a tiny house. It's the size of my office. It's small, enough for two beds and that's it. And we will be, leaving that. So that means that we're driving a truck. We're getting out with our bow. We're getting out with our bow, our arrows, and our pack, and that's it, right? And then we're going out for the day. Maybe we leave and we go back to the cabin for a little bit, or we go grab something to drink or eat, or go back to the truck. Then we leave again and go to a different spot. Whatever the case is, here's what's in my pack. What is what I keep in my pack from the time that I leave the truck to the time that I come back, and everything that I feel like I need in my pack for those day hunts chasing mule deer. Okay. So based off of experience, this is something that happened last year. Okay. And I got real lucky. I got real lucky that I found it. But the first thing I keep in my pack, and my pack, so everybody knows, is a Mystery Ranch Metcalf. It's a pack that I have kind of fallen in love with. It's very comfortable. It suits me the way that I want it. And depending on how cold it is, I can zip it up real tight and I can, collapse it down on itself. Or if I have a lot of stuff and extra gear in it, on cooler weather, like the hike in, I'll be warm. But then when I get to the glassing knob, I'll need to take my layers off and, or put some additional layers on, it expands and contracts as needed. So I'm a huge fan of the Mystery Ranch Metcalf. The thing that I feel is one of the most important things for a bow hunter is a spare release. This past season, I was on a spot and stalk of two mule deer bucks and three does. And they came out of this bottom and they were coming back up over these ridges to try and find a place to bed. And I put a stalk on them, but they changed directions and I continued my stalk. Well, in that process, I had set my release down to pick up my bow and my binoculars and my rangefinder. And I set it down and then I moved on with my stalk, right? Well, when it came time to clip in and pull back, I then had to backtrack. I think it was close to 100 yards as those deer were moving away from me because I didn't have a spare release in my pack. If I had a spare release in my pack, I flip the pack or take the pack off, get the release, and then I just move on from there. Luckily, I was able to backtrack, find my release, go back, and I still missed the buck anyway. he was a lot farther than what I thought he was. I couldn't get an ideal range on him. But long story short, I ended up missing that shot. I found my release. So you learn your lesson. You put a spare release for a bow hunter in your, if you're a muzzleloader hunter, maybe you put some spare ammo. Maybe you put some spare igniters in there. You, or whatever they call those there, some spare powder, some spare bullets, everything you need for a reload. That would be ideal. But for me, it's a spare release. The next thing on the list, and this is going to be hopefully a quick episode, but the next thing on the list is the meat bags, obviously, right? So I run a tent-like material, reusable meat bag. It's not cloth. It's made out of the same material a tent would be, would use. It is antimicrobial, which means that, you know, mold and stuff won't grow on it. And this past year I used it, you know, I used my meat bags. I took them, threw them in the wash. They stunk by the time they got home, full of blood, cake and guts, whatever, you know, whatever it was, throw it in the wash, wash them up, hang them out in the back because you don't want to dry them. You hang them out to dry and bingo bango, you have meat bags again, right? So that's a pretty cool part about having the reusable meat bags is that you can use them over and over and over again. I haven't used them long enough to the point where I feel like they're wearing out or they haven't been snagged on any thorns or things like that. They're very durable. They come with a toggle tie up top, and you can cinch it down real tight, throw it in your pack, and away you go. So meat bags, obviously, when it comes to breaking down your animal after you kill one, is your knife. And I run an outdoor edge knife. I believe it's the 3.0 version outdoor edge knife. And with that comes a caping knife. It comes a replaceable blade, and it comes with, I believe it comes with a bone saw, a mini bone saw in that kit. So the 3.0 comes with a bone saw. And then of course, in that little kit, I bring additional blades. This year, when I was breaking down my mule deer, it was two of us doing it together. And I believe that between both of us, we each used two blades on our knife. So take that how you want it, whether that's four blades for one person, two blades. I know I could have got away with using the second blade a little bit more, or my first blade a little bit more. But at, like, about halfway through breaking it down, I said, you know what? I have these blades. I'm just going to start using them again and, or get a new one on, so it's deadly sharp, and then just break it down even faster. So, I like a replaceable blade, type of knife to keep it razor sharp. At the same time, I know guys who live and die by the fixed blade knives. And so if you are doing that, you might want to bring a sharpening kit. I know some of the guys have the drag sharpening kits that you can, you know, you're in the middle of breaking down an elk or a mule deer, you just drag it across four or five times, you get the nice sharp edge on it, and you go back to breaking down your animal. Okay, the next thing, and of course, these are in no order at all. The next thing is water, okay? So I used to carry a water bladder, but I had an experience once where I was glassing, and the tube that comes out of the water bladder, it was a 3-liter water bladder. The tube that came out of it must have got bumped open, right? You put it in your mouth, you bite down on it, you suck the water out, but I threw it down, I was glassing on it. And I think the pressure of that opened that valve up. So when I stood up to get a drink, you know, I had 25% of my water left. The rest of it was down, getting soaked into the dirt. And so I stopped using bladders for my day hunts because of that reason. And I've switched to Nalgene bottles, right? So I load up two, possibly three, depending on how, you know, much of the day I'm going to be in, you know, out in the prairie. I am bringing two, sometimes three Nalgene bottles full of water. And that's the heaviest thing that I carry throughout the whole day. I definitely do not want to skimp on water. I'm willing to carry more water to be comfortable and have that in case I need it. It was good when I shot my mule deer last year, not only to drink after I shot my buck and have that on the hike back to the truck, but at the same time, you know, throw a little on your hands and wash the hands off and you're good to go. So I had enough most times. There has been times where I did not bring enough water out for that day, and it got hot And there's nothing worse than doing a hot, exhausting hike back to the truck or camp or whatever, completely dehydrated, exhausted, and dry cotton mouth. So that sucks. Have your water. I always carry extra, more than what I need. Okay. Along with my water, my food or my snacks for the day. All right. I tend to keep it really simple. I have my Clif bars, right? I'll bring a Clif bar or two. I will bring trail mix with me. And then every day I also bring an apple. And the reason that I put an apple in my pack is because I like something fresh. I don't want something packaged. I want something fresh. And an apple does that. It doesn't really necessarily get too terribly beat up like a banana would, but you bite into it, you get some fluids in your mouth, you get a little flavor in your mouth. It kind of excites your body. It, it maybe prevents some dry mouth, and then for me, depending, like if I do go on a backcountry hunt and I'm in a tent and you're eating processed, those bag meals all the time, dehydrated meals, your body gets dehydrated because there's a ton of salt in that. So it's good to have something fresh every day. Most of the time I'm snacking on trail mix. I don't necessarily bring a huge, like I don't bring a jet boil or any type of snack with me, or a pre-made sandwich. It's an apple and a couple snacks. I'm munching on that throughout the day. Outside of that, I eat before and after the hunt. Okay. So those are my snacks that I bring. Now, I am a forecast guy, so I'll look at the forecast. And if the forecast says, you know, hey, it's going to be 50 degrees in the morning and it's going to be 80 degrees in the afternoon, right? Most of the time what happens is, and I'm saying most of the time, I get away with wearing maybe a hoodie for the hike in, get to the glassing knob, and maybe I'll get cold for just a little bit. But there are times, and then the sun comes up and you're fine, and maybe it gets to the point where you're taking that hoodie off and you got the long sleeve, the long sleeve shirt on. With that said, I really do believe that you need to be prepared for anything. And that includes rain, and that includes cooler temps that you weren't expecting. So I always do a couple things. One, I always keep an extra pair of socks in my bag. And there are times where in the morning with the hiking boots that I wear, I'll get to the glassing knob and it's, the mornings are cool. My heavyweight socks do the trick. But then as I start to hike around and the temperatures get warmer, I don't want to be in a thick pair of, insulated socks all day. So I'll take my boots off, switch my socks out to a lighter weight sock, and then I'm covered for the warmer temperature. So I'm always bringing an extra pair of socks. Usually they're a lightweight sock to a midweight sock, so my feet aren't sweating the entire day. Even though my feet don't typically sweat that much, I always bring some just in case. I'm always bringing like an insulation layer, like a vest or an additional hoodie or something like that, where the walk in, you're going to be warm, potentially dripping sweat. And then after that, you got to cool down a little bit. So I cool down. I'm cooling down. I let the air kind of cool me down, evaporate the sweat. Hopefully my base layers are doing their job. And then after that, my body will start to cool down and I will gradually start to layer. And I usually start with a windproof vest of some sort. Usually the one that I have is a synthetic. It's not a down filled. It's a synthetic filled. And it is a vest and it's perfect for mule deer hunting. It just keeps the core of your body warm and it, it's windproof. On top of that, once that layer starts to get a little bit cooler, I will throw on a couple options. Some days I will bring a big wool LL Bean, depending on if if there's a lot of wind or not. A wool sweatshirt, it's great. It's bulky, but it retains heat really well. I love it. I love that as a whitetail hunting option as well. Outside of that, I will bring a thicker hoodie or a light jacket on top of that, for when the sun goes down or the sun's just coming up. A lot of it depends on the high temperatures of that day. For my mule deer hunt, the times that I go, it's going to be pretty warm in the mid to late afternoons, and you're just kind of sitting there waiting for the sun to go down before the deer start to move. So I always have that in the bottom of my bag just to be safe, because I have been to the point where I've been sitting and glassing in cooler temps, wishing I had, because the body does actually cool down fairly quickly in some instances, especially if the wind is driving the moisture off your body and you cool down and the temps are cold and you're going to wish you had something. And when you don't have something, it can be pretty miserable out there. Your feet are shaking, your hands are shaking, you're cold, and you got to stand up and walk around a little bit. Outside of that, I don't know why I don't do this, but I never bring a rain bottom. I always bring my rain top. And so there's certain pairs of pants that I wear that dry out fairly quickly because of the material. And then there's others that's more like a jean or a denim or like a really thick, like if you're walking through brush or, you're on your knees doing a spot and stalk, I want something pretty heavy duty. And usually those two things don't coincide. If it's breathable, then it doesn't, it's not very durable, but if it's durable, then it's not very breathable. So I always try to balance what I'm trying to bring or wear on the pants side of things, but I never bring rain pants. I always bring the rain tops. Rain comes, throw it on. I'm usually standing or I'm sitting with my pack over my legs so that doesn't get wet. I always get wet a little bit, but it's not like I've been trapped in the mountains in Colorado or something like that, where it could potentially be dangerous. I'm not that far away from my truck, usually like a mile and a half, maybe. Outside of that, so that's the layers, the extra socks. I always have a pair of warm gloves for glassing. And then I always have a pair of lightweight gloves that I use for stalking. Okay. So those gloves are also in, like, two pairs of gloves are also in my pack. Usually the heavy duty gloves are when I'm packing in and then, or hiking in, and then the lighter weight gloves are when I'm moving around and the temperature gets a little hotter. The next thing on the list is a first aid kit. And here's what's in this first aid kit. Obviously some antibacterial cream. We have some gauze. We have, gauze. We have like clothespins. We have needles. We have burn cream. Obviously, bandages of a variety of sizes. We have a pair of tweezers and a mini pair of scissors. I like the tweezers because in certain places that mule deer live are cactus. And when a cactus thorn gets in your knee or in your hand, then you pull it out. And you can use the tweezers to do that. That's a big deal. In my first aid kit, because I wear contacts, I also have a mini bottle of like saline solution that I can rinse my contact off if I get sand or dirt in there. And so that's also something that I keep in there. I'm trying to think of what else is important. It's just a very basic first aid kit where a minor injury, you're going to be able to recover. Like if you break your bones or if you get a laceration, you're probably not going to be able to, oh, there's tape in there. So I could take a shirt. If I got a major laceration, I could take a shirt and wrap tape around my leg or my arm or something like that. But it basically just be enough to get me back to the truck. I got bit by a dog in South Dakota. Holy shit. 4 years ago now,
pheasant hunter was driving down the road, and I was just kind of talking to him like, hey, where are you going? And he mentioned me to open his door on his passenger side. So I opened the door and he had a dog in there. And so I did what most people do. You put your hand out to let the dog smell you. And then the son of a bitch bit me. So I ended up making a bandage with gauze and tape and antibacterial cream and toughed it out for 2 days in my car before I went and got some shots and had the doctor take a look at it so I could get some antibiotics and things like that just in case the dog was psychotic. I didn't get rabies shots because it looked like a well-kept dog. I probably should have, you know, or otherwise I'd be running down deer and killing them out in the prairie right now of South Dakota. But luckily I had the first aid kit there. It's a very basic first aid kit. I bought it on Amazon. I think I bought it for like $35, and it's got just enough of what I need to carry with me in case I, you know, something minor happens. One thing I have realized in my certain areas, okay, this is kind of a two-part conversation. This next little conversation, and that is binoculars, rangefinder, spotting scope. Okay, now obviously the binos are not in my pack; they're on my chest. The rangefinder usually is not on my in my pack, but it's on my chest along with my binos. The interesting thing that happened to me this year is I picked up a pair of Vortex. Let's see what it is. I got the box here. The Vortex 10x42 Ranger HD 3000 laser range finding binoculars. So now I no longer need my rangefinder that I need. I'm going to test this out, and maybe next year I like the rangefinder better. However, I have I got this binos that has a rangefinder built in. One thing that I noticed, especially if you are stalking in on taller grass, you wish you had the magnification of the binocular, and then you have to go bino, then you got to go. Or you got to go hold the bow with my left hand, and then I got to go bino to locate his tines, put it down, rangefinder to see how far I am, and then creep up a little bit more. So I'm going bino, rangefinder. So I'm hoping that this year, this Ranger HD 3000 allows me to just go bino. Okay, bino, and then I'm it. I'm where I need without having to switch back and forth to so many things. And from an efficiency standpoint, now there's one less thing on my chest gear, on my chest piece that I need to worry about, my bino pack. So I'm really looking forward to messing around with that a little bit more. Outside of that, the spotter is something that I have learned has several awesome benefits to have a spotting scope. Okay. However, I usually keep it in the truck in case I see something a long ways away, or we're driving in and out of a place and I want to stand in the tailgate of my truck and I want to kind of glass a big drainage. It's great for that, but it does have a significant weight to it that is great if you're going to a big wide open place where you're going to be spotting for a very long ways. And what I found out was there's certain areas of where I go where I do not need that. I do not need to have a big spotter for some of these spots because the binoculars will do. So with that said, I'm bringing my spotting scope with me about 25% of the time now, you know, on my mule deer hunts. Now, there are spots where I go mule deer hunting, where there's some huge drainages that go down for a very long ways. And yes, I am definitely bringing my spotter in to those types of areas. Okay. That's not a problem at that point, but it is, if you're not, if you bring the spotter and you're not using it, and that's what I've kind of realized on some of these hunts, it's just, you're carrying heavier weight is all you're doing. It's like having a brick in your pack. And so I try to plan ahead when I bring my spotter out there. And then obviously the spotter, you pull it out, you put it back in, you pull it out, you put it back in. That's just a lot of movement, packing it up and putting it away throughout the day. So those are my optics that I'm bringing with me. Next on the list is a headlamp. If it's the morning, I'm obviously wearing it in. I have a black diamond headlamp. It's pretty badass. A variety of different brightnesses, you know, brightness levels, green, red, blue, light also, I think, on it. Here's the thing about that, though, is it goes through, it is bright. So the brighter, the more lumens, I guess you would call it lumens or whatever that word is, of brightness, the more batteries it goes through. So I always put a fresh pair of batteries in it before every hunt. And then after that, or, you know, I always have a set of batteries on standby in my pack in case the headlamp fades out throughout the hunt, and it will. I've always, you know, had scenarios where I'm hiking out or hiking in the morning, it starts to give out, just stop what I'm doing and get the batteries out, switch it out real quick with my cell phone light, and then go. So always have an extra headlamp, or in my case, extra batteries with you to, you know, because nothing sucks. I'm sure if anybody here is listening to this, I forgot my headlamp one day this year, while deer hunting. And it wasn't a huge hike, but it was still a hike in the dark. And you're sitting there guessing where you're kind of going. Luckily I had my cell phone, but a cell phone light is not the same as a headlamp. And, I kind of wished I had it. Another thing I have in my pack is a length of paracord. Now, I don't have any specific reasons, nor have I ever used paracord necessarily for anything, but I will say this, I keep a length of about 40 feet of paracord in my pack at all times. And I don't know why, other than just in case, right? Just in case I need to do something where I tie one end to a mule deer's leg and another end of the rope to a bush to basically hold the leg open while I'm, you know, field dressing that animal. The other thing is a potential clothesline, in case I need it somewhere. You know, these are just what if type scenarios, but I always keep about 40 foot of paracord just in case I need it. So there's that.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This is one thing that I don't know why, because I've never had to use it, but we rely so much on technology these days. And we do a lot of e-scouting, looking at maps on our phone. You know, we got our Onyx or whatever the case is. But we also need to be prepared for us not having the ability. Let's say you drop your phone in a river or a creek. It's shot. Now what? Right? How do I know how to navigate the terrain? My batteries die on the way back to the truck at the end of the day. what happens? What happens? So I always have a little compass that I keep in my pack, and on it, it's a compass with a whistle. Okay. And it's kind of like an emergency whistle. I keep that there in case let's say I break my leg and I'm trying to find, and my phone is dead or something like that. And these are worst case scenarios, obviously, but I'm blowing my whistle to make noise. Hopefully somebody comes and tries to save me. But, you know, there's that. Or my battery on my phone runs out. I lose my phone. That happened one year where the guy I was with sat down to glass, set his phone down, and then he couldn't find it. And we had to go back, and I called it 1,000 times and we finally found it. But long story short, he ends up losing his phone. And in that type of case, in that case, I always have a little compass with me, and I go, okay, I know from scouting that I need to walk east. So I look at mine, and I actually, when I was in Boy Scouts several years ago, I took a pioneering class, and it taught us how to, in some way, shape, or form, use a compass and how to navigate terrain using a compass. And so I thought that was kind of cool. And so I kept a little bit of that knowledge in the back of my head. And so that's why I carry a compass. The next thing on the list, and this goes back to the cell phone, I have, it's about the size of a cell phone, maybe a little bit thicker, maybe about the size of an eraser, like a whiteboard eraser. And it opens up and it exposes a solar panel, and that solar panel absorbs sunlight and turns to energy, and it's a spare battery, and it comes with a cord. And that cord, then I put those things in my pack, and if my phone does start to die down fairly quickly, then what we have is a scenario where I just plug it in, maybe the battery's dead, and I open that up, and it starts to charge. It charges the battery charges the phone. Now, I don't always have to open that up, because I can also charge it in a plug-in or in my truck or somewhere where there's an alternate energy source. But that's always good to have, just in case. Maybe you're out there longer than you think you are going to be, or you sit there and you're scrolling while you're looking for deer, and you kind of, it's that midday type of lull where everything's bedded and you can't find anything. So you decide to just sit down and, you just kind of go from there. Outside of that, it's just a safety, right? Safety cord. Everybody brings their cell phone with them these days, whether it's to take pictures or stay in communication or use their maps or whatever. So it's just an alternate source of energy for your phone whenever your phone dies out, and it's kind of a just in case thing. Now, the last thing I have on my list is a couple Allen wrenches. And what I do is I've bought an extra Allen wrench set, and this is for my bow, where if I bump something or I need something, like if I bump something like a rest, or I drop my bow, or I trip and fall into something and my bow seems to be jacked up, I always have those three, I believe it's three different sizes of Allen wrenches for my sight and my rest. And that allows me to make infield adjustments if I need to, right? A lot of these bows today, you don't need a press to make some types of adjustments, so you can do it in the field potentially. I'm not an expert at that, but I always keep a small set of Allen wrenches. I think it's three that I keep in my pack, that if something happens to my bow, my sight, my rest, I can make these minor adjustments in the field. And maybe I see a bush and I drop my bow, or I did something. I want to see if I'm still on, or if I need to go back to the truck, throw an arrow at like a piece of bare dirt that's 30 yards away or whatever, and see how close I get to it, that type of stuff. So, yes, that is my list. That's what's in my pack. When I post this on the Hunting Gear Podcast or on the Nine Finger Chronicles, Instagram feed, do me a favor and maybe put a list together of all the stuff that you keep in your pack, or maybe something that I forgot that you think I should put in my pack. So great conversation today with myself, but it's something that I'm thinking about right now. It's something that I'm preparing for. October 3rd, I'm leaving, I believe, for South Dakota, and I will be there to and start hunting October 4th-ish, I think. So I got to have all this ready by then. For everybody out there, do me a huge favor and be safe. Have all of your gear prepared. Make sure you have all of your irons in the fire at home taken care of so that it's not a surprise to someone when you do leave. Take care of your family and your business and things like that. But be safe. Gear. That includes, but is not limited to, your vehicle. I know that here in the next week, I need to go get an oil change, and that should last me the rest of the season. I need an oil change while I'm there.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
I'm going to get my tires potentially rotated, check my brakes, things like that. Take my vehicle in for an inspection, basically. And that would not hurt as well. So do me a favor, go to iTunes, Spotify, wherever you download this podcast, give it a 5-star review. That would really help me get this podcast out and get it to the masses. I really appreciate that. Go to the Hunting Gear Podcast Instagram feed, follow along. Make sure you're following the Nine Finger Chronicles Instagram feed as well. I have episode 1000 launching next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. So keep an eye out for that. And I've also just launched the 999th episode of the Nine Finger Chronicles, which is a listener Q&A. So go check that podcast out as well. Good vibes, everybody. Good luck. Thank you to our sponsors, Reveal and Muddy DV8. Have a good day, and we'll talk to you next time.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.